on the line, Peter Tonkin, to tell us a little bit about the development. How's it going, Peter?
Very well, Jared. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So how did this all come about?
Oh, it's been in the planning for probably decades. And it was all started a long time ago when the Sydney Theatre Company was moved to Wall 4-5 at Walsh Bay.
Right.
So there were two of these retained timber finger walls, 2-3 and 4-5, and Sydney Theatre Company took over 4-5 a long time ago. And since then, there's been a plan to develop particularly 2-3, which was empty, as a multi-venue art centre. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, Sydney Dance Company moved into 4-5 along with the Bangarra Dance Theatre. Right. So it started to be a place where the, you know, most exciting, leading edge, really innovative Sydney arts companies congregated.
I'm sure that's an exciting opportunity for you as well as head architect there. So how do you approach something like that? Because it's well, it's a pretty esteemed company that are going to be, I guess, performing there, for lack of a better term. So how do you approach that? Because I guess you need it to be pretty grandiose. So is that exciting?
Yeah, I don't know if it's grandiose at all. We tried to make it somewhere where the kind of back of house where ordinary people could look through windows or walk through spaces where the theatre companies were actually doing their stuff, building sets, making costumes, practicing, rehearsing, so that it's not quite turned inside out, but certainly putting the whole, you know, all of the aspects of production on show, mm-hmm. so that not only the general public, but the other companies can see what everyone's doing,
right.
and get that real kind of creative buzz of stuff happening, you know, at the same time in the same place.
How much influence do stakeholders or alike have when you're approaching a development like this and the planning that takes place prior to any construction or anyone?
Oh, look, a lot. There were rigid heritage controls that we had to abide by, as well as all the normal kind of noise and nuisance things. But all of the arts companies had really particular requirements, in particular the Australian Chamber Orchestra, which is, you know, amongst the best in the world, had very demanding acoustic requirements for their space. And when you combine that with a timber building built over water 100 years ago, with ferries and helicopters and stuff going past, it does become very challenging.
Is it one size fits all? Like, if you're going to have an orchestra in there and then you might have some theatre in there the next week or however long like they take place?
No, they've all got their own spaces. So there's a really sweet little 200-seat theatre for the Australian Theatre for Young People where kids are taught to perform and are really enthusiastic. There's Bell Shakespeare's got a kind of suite of rehearsal rooms that they can use for performances, so very flexible kind of boxes. And then there's this performance space, the ACO, which is, you know, is what you'd think of as a theatre.
Right.
And as well as that, there's a huge empty space where, you know, we can have parties for a lot of people, or the BNRE, the Writers' Festival, all that sort of stuff.
Sounds good. When can we go and check it out as members of the public?
I reckon you can buy tickets to things probably from March.
All right, fantastic.
There's a big opening thing happening in April, a big opening festival.
All righty, great. Well, enjoy. I'm sure you'll be one of the esteemed guests at that event whenever it is. So enjoy that much. Congratulations as well.
Thank
and
you.
Have a good weekend.
You. Radio. Bye.
See you, Peter.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Peter Tonkin there, who was head architect, I should say, for the new Walsh Bay Arts Precinct. It's at Pier 2-3, as you just heard, as opposed to 4-5, where it used to be. You can go and check it out sooner rather than later, it sounds. So exciting, especially as Sydney starts to open back up and the arts start to thrive once again.